So, a big footy weekend, and it's the last round of the home and away season, as we well know. And we'll talk more about a lot of the issues with Boomer Harvey after 8 o'clock on the Friday footy preview. But very, very keen to have a chat to Marcus Bontempelli about his game this weekend. It is an absolute cracker. The Bulldogs are sitting in 8th position on the ladder at the moment, and they've got the Fremantle Dockers, the Kazali Stadium in Cairns. This is what makes it even more intriguing, that it's the Cairns factor. The conditions up there have been quite interesting throughout the season, and the skipper of their Bulldogs, the champ, and one of our favourites, has been good enough to join us on a Friday morning. Bont, good morning.
Good morning, gents. Hope you're all going well.
We are going well. How are you going? You're living on the edge of the eight at the moment. There's adrenaline coursing through your veins, I'm sure, and up at Kazali Stadium tomorrow against the Dockers is going to be a very, very interesting affair. In fact, Sunday, a very, very interesting affair for you guys to finish the home and away season.
Yeah, it is. I guess it's not too dissimilar to how we finished last season in terms of needing to win that last game to consolidate our position. But that, with that comes a good challenge, some excitement. And like you said, there's some adrenaline definitely, but feeling good about, you know, hopefully what we can do.
Has that been building, the energy and the adrenaline? Obviously, the position of the team would create that a little bit, but knowing that the finish line and the real stuff is just around the corner, can you feel that and sense that building within the group after what's been, a really challenging year at times?
Yeah, you definitely can. You definitely can feel, the prosperity of you know, what if, or potentially, playing some finals football. But at the same time, you've got to be quite... you've got to check yourself and understand we've still got a game to play, and especially with Fremantle on the way that they've been playing their football, it presents as a pretty big challenge for us. So despite, what may be ahead future-wise, you really can't allow yourself to drift that far ahead. You've got to really, especially us, focus on, playing our best football this weekend.
And Marcus, no game's easy, but you mentioned Fremantle. Their form has been really good to finish this season. They're a really tough team defensively. You guys are obviously a really attacking team and high possession team. Where's your concern lie with the Dockers at the moment?
We'll have a look at probably their team in more depth this morning as we plan, probably preview sort of their makeup and what it'll look like. But I think when you look at, how their team start, they got a lot of really young, good players who I think have got, good endurance, good sort of speed. Like I said, they've got a lot of dangerous sort of players that can influence the game in big ways. So we're going to have to be cautious of probably how they move the ball as well, and not just think they're a, potentially defensively minded team, but work out how we can, use our different gears and different ways to build the ball up to get through them.
You've only lost, Marcus, once since round 11, and that was to Geelong. And even your last three losses your last four losses have been Richmond, Brisbane, Port Adelaide and Geelong, but you've banked the wins outside all of that. Do you feel, as we get to this point, that the team is playing as well as it has at any point during the season?
It certainly feels like we've played probably a better style and brand of football for longer. And as you mentioned, a lot of those teams are, probably up there. They're up the top end of the ladder. And we've had good, probably, patches and good periods against them. But probably the Richmond game being a bit different, we didn't play well at all, probably not majority of the game, but a bit of fair chunk. But the other three, we were sort of in the game and just couldn't quite hold on or capitalise on some of the momentum we've had. And probably learn from that in trying to keep our, keep our momentum up, stay in the game and stay in the moment so we didn't have those lapses. So I think that's definitely helped us, that period we've been able to learn from and adjust from on the fly, and that's helped our last few weeks of football, and obviously put us in a position where we can potentially take things a bit further.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And Marcus, we were talking earlier this morning about the much talked about conditions, particularly in night games in Queensland, about the ball gets slippery and we're seeing a lot of mistakes and all that sort of thing. Do you try and play the same way in wet conditions, or do you genuinely have a different game style compared to if you're playing in a day game versus a night game?
Yeah, I definitely think we'll make some adjustments because the conditions are quite different, and as you mentioned, from a especially just a ball use point of view, it's going to be hard to assume things will connect and will play out the way you probably anticipate from inside the stoppage from a handball perspective then forward. And I think we've actually spent a few years at Cairns in previous years playing, and we've played a lot of sort of twilight night games. So we're not, in terms of, you know, how familiar we are with the conditions, we are somewhat, because we know what it's like, but obviously haven't played there for a few years now. So you do have to adjust, knowing that the ball will be a little bit slippery at times, and you might not be able to punch, you know, handballs into space or areas or as fast as you might normally. So it becomes maybe a bit more of a kicking game to get the ball forward. So we'll probably talk about those adjustments today, but you do have to make some changes, I think.
What about the rhythm of the season? Sorry, Bont, Remo, I'll just jump in. What about the rhythm of the season, Bont, in the way that's been unfolding? You know, 4-day breaks, 5-day breaks, and there was for about a month, and then there was a 7-day break in between there. Then you go back into the shorter breaks, and now you got a 7-day break into hopefully a finals campaign with a week off in between. Has your body started to adjust to the shorter breaks, and now these extended breaks, a 7-day and then hopefully a 13 or 14-day break if you win on the weekend, might throw it out a bit? Are you concerned about that at all, the way that the body's reacting to the rhythm of the year?
Not really. I guess in your body now probably thinks after 4 and 5 day breaks that a 7-day break's a 10-day break. So yeah, you do, I guess, as a mature body, your body just reacts a bit better to probably the ebbs and flows. And I think the football club and we as a whole have done a pretty good job to sort of set ourselves up to cope with the changes and adjustments. And what the longer breaks do give you a better chance to train some things. So on the 4 or 5 day break, you really don't have what we call a main session where you can actually improve or practice some of the things that fall out of the previous week's game that you might want to work on or touch up, but it doesn't give you a great chance to do that. So as a young team, sometimes the training elements of being able to fix or feel like you iron out some kinks is really beneficial. So I think we've done okay in that regard, but the longer breaks do give you a bit of a chance to train a little bit more and put some things in place. So once we probably got out of that pretty sort of frenzy period and have had some longer breaks, it's definitely helped from that point of view.
With those shorter breaks, Marcus, were you doing a lot more video analysis sessions, or was it really just about recovery and just going from game to game? Because you talk about being a young team, and it's critical that you continue to improve through action in training. But as you're saying, you can't do that. So was there a lot, because you're in the hub, you're together, and you can, I guess, a coach can grab you whenever they really need to. Were you doing more video?
To be honest, not really, because I think you've got to try and strike a really fine balance between, you know, overdoing it and clearly being in a hub and surrounded by probably, you know, football in a sense so much. It was, you know, important for everyone to feel like, you know, they were still mentally, you know, had the same amount of energy and application that they could. So we probably weren't doing any more than we normally would, but obviously trying to identify, you know, maximise the time that we spent together as a group, so that when you're away from training or when you were just chilling out, you didn't feel compelled to be connected to the game so much. And that way, just to keep everyone mentally fresh as much as physically.
I just want to, one last one from me, Mark. I just want to ask you about Bailey Smith. Firstly, the haircut's unbelievable. That's just, that's a thing of beauty. And I'm so jealous because I've got no hair. But he looks like he's been around now with his physical body shape, his running power, the way he's able to use the ball in and out of stoppages. He looks like he's been around the game for 5, 6, 7 years. He looks like he's almost in the prime of his career. First part of the question, how much better can he get? And the second part of the question, how hard does he work on his body and in his game?
First part, I think his ceiling probably, you know, hasn't quite yet been discovered, and that's the great thing about Bailey and his, I guess, application to the game and his physical attributes and, you know, his body and the way that he trains, as he set himself up to have an impact as big as he has really well, because his body was just so ready and accustomed to being able to play the game. So in terms of his, how much more improvement he can have, I still think a heap. He's obviously a great contest-to-contest player. And
still working on some aspects of his game, and he's clearly a good finisher as well. So you start to add those elements all in together and see a really complete player. So, you know, in terms of his ceiling, I think he's still got plenty to go. What was the second part to the question?
Well, how hard does he work now? Because he looks like when he came into the game, he looked already ready-made. He looked like he understood the demands of being an AFL footballer from the moment he walked in the door. But what does he do now that you look at it and go, wow, he just works so hard, this young man?
Yeah, well, it's probably the way he applies himself in each of the sort of training aspects that he's got, you know, a mindset and attitude that every day he's trying to get better and trying to help us as a team to continue to, you know, succeed and as a group achieve some really good things. And when you have that attitude from young players, it really does make the process, you know, a lot easier, but it really does then help others to, you know, drive along with him. So he's a super impressive young player, Baz.
So we're mindful, Marcus, that you've got to get off to training. So just one final one. You're going to training this morning. You know what's ahead of you. You win, you lock a spot up in the finals. You might not even need to win. How are you nervous? Does the mood change? Is there a bit of an edge about training, even when you're getting breakfast with the team this morning? Do you feel you're going into a different zone, or do you try and keep it normal?
Nah, it's very much sort of business as usual. You probably only need to reflect on the past few weeks and you know, things that have worked for us and identify maybe a couple of things that haven't to keep things steady because, you know, the focus has to be sort of process-driven as opposed to outcome. So I think, if anything, it's more excitement than anything that, you know, we've got plenty to play for, which, you know, in a, you know, season where there's been a lot of challenges, to be in a position where we can potentially take things further is really exciting. And that's the sense that I get from the group, that everyone's really pumped and looking forward to the challenge of Freo this week and fully expecting probably their best. So we'll have to be right on top of our game.
Hey, mate, just one more last one from me.
You said you one spoke more about, before.
He's got to get the training. I know. He's got to get the training, Rimmer.
I know, but I love talking to him. He's a ripper, Marcus. So you said you go to breakfast, right? Now, guys, when they're at home, they've got their own diet. You know, some guys weigh their meals. Some guys know exactly what they're eating. How tricky has that been in the hub, I know Whitey would really struggle with this, having buffets and the like just put on for him there. But are you able to talk to the chef about exactly what you want, or how are you going about that inside the hub?
Yeah, well, you know, we can still head to Coles and shop and whatnot, so it's... you know, if you've got any specific sort of food or dietary requirements that you really need outside of what's being provided, you can do that. You can chase it up. But we've got a dietitian here from the football club who's obviously all over from a food and intake perspective, an energy intake perspective, what athletes need. So she's been awesome. Her name's Sam. And then, you know, she's probably played a really big role for us here as players to make sure, you know, despite being out of home and out of our normal routines, that we're getting everything we need. And as you said, there's a lot of people that fall along the spectrum. Some people, you know, like to be really detailed with their diets. Others are just happy to, you know, pretty much eat whatever's been served. So it has taken a little bit of adjusting, but I think it's handled really well by the football club.
Whatever you've been eating, just keep eating it, because you're going gangbusters, Bont, and we love watching you go about it. Cannot wait for Sunday night. 6:10 at Cazalia Stadium. Check your local guides. Freo and the Bulldogs are going to be a cracker to finish your home and away season. I hope it goes deeper than that. Good on you, pal. Nice to chat as always.
No worries, Jen. Thanks very much. Take care.
Good stuff. Marcus Bontempelli, the captain of the Bulldogs, with us.
Just the buffets there, they're unbelievable. I think I would have a little bit of trouble. I'll just have a little bit more of that. I'll just have a little bit more of that. A little bit more here. Because it's there. I feel guilty when there's food left over.
Do you reckon where they're staying, they have that pancake maker machine? Where they just come out on a conveyor belt? Yeah.
No doubt.
Do you like that system, Whitey?
Well, I investigated buying one. And I'm not joking. I mean, that's real game changer type stuff, one of those. They just keep coming out on a conveyor belt. Just press the button.
Just press the button. It's quite remarkable how they do it. And they're good pancakes, too. They come out really well.
Yeah, they're fluffy. They're quite fluffy.
Clearly, clearly the mixture's got to be made by a professional or someone that knows what they're doing. But
comes in a bag,
just the press the button factor and the conveyor belt, it's just opens
a lot of
whole
air
new
in the mix. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to have pancakes for breakfast this morning after the show.
I'm not allowed to.
I'm going to. Oh, would you keep talking about
Don't worry. You had enough yesterday, mate.
Maybe a scone later on this afternoon, the way things are going. We'll get to a break. Touch base with